Explore a Verizon retail career in the San Francisco Bay Area and get a $1,500 sign-on bonus. Join the team that makes in-store experiences special by connecting customers with the perfect product every time. We offer standout benefits, including competitive pay, day one health and insurance benefits, $8,000 a year in college tuition assistance, plus bonus opportunities. Apply at Verizon.com/retail jobs. Again, that's Verizon.com/retail jobs. Verizon, it's better here. Verizon is an equal opportunity employer.
Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Well, hello.
Hi.
We are here.
Yes.
A beautiful day.
Yes.
In March, our first Friday show in March.
That's right.
I know.
It is.
I know. So, tonight we are going to be talking about the element of Earth, but before we do that, we always do our check-ins. So,
yeah.
You go first, my dear. Check in all you want.
Let's see. This week was my daughter's 15th birthday.
My goodness.
So that was middle of the week. So I, you know, a lot of the early week was getting ready for a birthday, and a lot of the end of the week has been aftermath of birthday. But you know, it was fun, and we had a little family thing, and then just, you know, those of us who still live in my household went out to dinner, and
uh-huh.
So it was nice. It was uh-huh. Expensive, but nice.
Well, you know, kids. No yep. matter what age, are expensive.
Yeah, it keeps tripping me out that I was 15-year-old. That's so bizarre. It really seemed possible. And I drove her to school on her birthday, and it was, you know, 7:45 in the morning or whatever. And I said, 15 years ago at this time. And I, you know,
yeah,
all day long I was giving her the play-by-play because she wasn't born until almost the next day.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
She has a very late birth time, but, uh-huh. Yeah. 15 years ago at this time. So, yeah, right now, 15 years ago at this time, I was still shell-shocked in the hospital, hoping they wouldn't send me home because I didn't know what I was going to do once I was alone with this thing.
I understand. Totally. I swear that's like, you know, unless you have, I think, well, I mean, they have doulas and midwives
yeah.
and things that you can, you know, connect with, but
yeah.
most of us don't.
No. Oh, no, I was terrified. And I've had plenty of friends who were like, I can't wait to get sent home. I'm not staying any longer at the hospital than I have to. I want to go now. And I kept saying, can we get a later checkout? I'm not really ready. What am I going to do without nurses?
Uh-huh.
I'm terrified.
Uh-huh.
I'm not ready.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, trust me, I know it's the same, you know, thing, and I know what you're going through, only
yeah.
mine's now 31 years ago. It's kind of a, you know,
yeah.
now it's a totally different experience. Well, that must be exciting,
yeah.
having you definitely got the 15-year-old teen now.
Yeah, mm. yeah, and she's got this school sports thing, so she's never played sports at school before, so I don't know. I am not sporty by any stretch of the imagination. I played sports. I played softball in fifth grade. So that's the sum total of my sports experience.
Uh-huh.
So neither of us know what the heck we're doing trying to get her signed up for this sports team thing. Thankfully, my partner knows what's happening and has done this all before and is very helpful. But I'm like, I don't know. Like, you need cleats? What do you need cleats for? Can't you just wear tennis shoes? Like, I don't get it. So that's been fun. And that's been mixed in with birthday stuff. Like, we had to postpone things because she had a game and she didn't know and blah, blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Pretty mundane family dynamics this week.
Yeah.
But then you add your work.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always that.
I know. We always have work. So,
yeah. Well, how's your week been?
Interesting, fun-filled, had a lot of clients, did a lot of stuff like that, found myself talking to a new dentist because my dentist retired.
No.
And, you know, it's kind of funny. I do the same thing with doctors because I'm not really doctor-orientated either, but for some reason when somebody wants to put their fingers in your mouth and do kinds of all kinds of things, you get a real concern about that, and it's like and then, of course, you all know that medical insurance is one thing, dental insurance is another, and if you're lucky enough to have a company dental or medical plan, that's great,
right.
But for those of us that don't have that,
it's expensive,
and so it's hitting at a time where I also have car stuff, so it's, you know, registration of car and all of that, so it was a little bit, you know, on the edge, but as a rule, I haven't sunk, so that's good. And actually doing this particular informational research on the element of earth did keep me grounded, believe it or not. So it was
nice.
Like, okay, just remember the ground of being.
Right.
So
helpful.
It's always helpful. And, you know, there's something about the way March came in for me. I feel like I've turned a corner somewhere.
Mm.
I don't quite know what that means. Maybe it'll come out, you know, in another few weeks, like more of the flowers.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Nice.
So, yeah, so that was my week.
Nice.
With, you know, the ups and downs and just the idea that it was the first year in a decade that I have not watched the Oscars.
Mm.
And obviously I didn't watch the State of the Union.
No.
But I kind of was going, why are all my shows preempted? Why are my shows not here? And then it suddenly dawned on me, you know, that they're not showing for recordings because there are these things that are going on.
Right.
And, of course, the one year I don't watch the Oscars, they have the incredible first-time-ever bloop in terms of awarding the wrong
best picture.
Best picture. So.
And the picture that everyone thought didn't have a chance in hell is the one that won.
Right. So that's kind of a trip.
Interesting time.
Yes. So we have that has transpired. And, you know, I think that was a real eye-opener.
Mm.
No, because I was in the film industry.
Yeah.
I wasn't in it, like, super heavy, but
yeah.
I was very much a part of, you know, that whole process, and I was, like, going, this is the first year I haven't even cared about it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
You grow old, you change.
Change. We change.
We change.
Change is unavoidable.
That's true. And in that instance, we talk about the element of Earth, which does have a unchanging yet changing aspect.
The change happens slowly with Earth.
Yes. It is a very...
Or very rapidly all of a sudden.
That's true.
There is no halfways when it comes to Earth.
One or the other. One or the other. So,
yeah.
And it's interesting because when I started doing this, I mean, truthfully, Earth has been an element that I've been working with, not that I came in feeling comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of us that have gone through our spiritual adventures, well, I'm not really of this earth. I'm so up here in this wonderful fairyland of whatever and flying around and doing meditating and all that and, you know, just out of body.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody goes, well, get grounded. You know, so I found that this element for me has been a life process.
Sure.
And I am fire. I come in with a fire element, and I feel very comfortable in that and, you know, that kind of a thing. And, you know, that But birth has been difficult, but also I now appreciate it more.
Right.
And I think you were saying before we did our radio show beginning here, when we were chit-chatting before, we were talking about the concept of what, you know, elemental
right
aspect, and you want to share with me what you were saying.
Yeah, well, this was definitely more of a thing when I was a wee baby witch. So I don't know if maybe this has fallen out of favor, but, you know, I was doing some research and looking at different websites online this week, and this came up over and over again. So, and I didn't notice if the website was written in 2000 or if it was written yesterday, so I can't really speak to that. But because it was a reoccurring theme, I felt it was worth us mentioning and talking about a little bit.
Right.
And it's this idea that as a Wiccan or as a witch, you have to have an element.
Mm-hmm.
Like you are aligned with that element, and that's your elemental. And that's really not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not a thing. It's become a thing.
Right.
There's like this mystique around, like, what is your element? But that's really not, that's not reality. Like, it's fun to kind of play with the concept, like this whole last airbender thing, like I'm the air elemental and these are my powers. But let's be real. Right?
Yeah.
This is not a fantasy movie. This
right.
is legit shit we're doing here.
Yeah.
Right? So, and, you know, and I'd like to touch a little bit, too, on people who would like to, who practice controlling the elements. And, you know, let's be very real, because a lot of what we're doing with witchcraft and paganism and all of this modern magical construct is being solid and whole within ourselves, finding wholeness. The better we are, the more complete we are, the more whole we are, the more we can change the world around us.
Right.
Right? So if and I'm an earth sign, Elvira is a fire sign, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am super grounded, dude. It takes a whole hell of a lot to shake me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't tend to have big emotional reactions. I don't freak out very easily. If you see me freak out or have an intense emotional reaction, you know it's big shit for me, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so that can be really frustrating for people, because I'm kind of like, great. That's awesome. But that's about as much as I, you know. But I don't say that Earth is my element, because I want to be whole.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to have that wholeness, in order to be working on myself, I want all of the elements to be aligned. I want all of the elements to be present. And maybe I know, like, I'm fueled by fire, and
right.
that's my primary go-to energetic.
Mm-hmm.
But if I say that I'm fire and everything else takes the back seat, then I'm not really in balance. And that's, you know, again, we've talked about our bodies as a pentacle, and the elements are aligned to that pentacle, earth, fire, water, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we want those things to be in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
If we have a giant head or our left hand is enormous, you know, you want those things to be in alignment.
Right. What
do you think about that?
I think it's great. I think it's a valid point. I love this. We get really excited, and then we stop for a minute and look at the other person and go, and?
Yeah.
And, well, you know, it's funny because listening to you, and I'm thinking, I do say I'm a fire priestess because that is the element that I have as my conduit, but that doesn't mean that doesn't mean we don't use in whatever I'm going to be working with my clients the other aspect.
Right.
And for me, actually listening to Phoenix talk about the druidic traditions and having fire as not necessarily one of four, then it becomes an interesting dynamic for me to revision what that means to me. So I feel less aligned with the element, but the energy that is inspirational and fiery is what I work with, but that's also, to me, the electric energy and the current energy, the life force energy. And so if I take it to that point, but that's where my gift comes out in the world.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that that's the only thing. And as I was kind of talking, there are things that have required me to learn to not speak in that manner. So groundedness or earthy energy has been the thing that has balanced my fire energy. So, you know, and the air and the water, to me, it's kind of like looking at those going, that's like left and right, above and below is like the fire and the earth.
Right.
And to me, I'm more balanced with intellect and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, the other two that really needed it.
Yeah.
And there was an incident I was describing to Phoenix, and it was like my first inclination was to have this barrage of statements, and I actually didn't do that,
right,
which was part of the reason why the situation shifted in the manner it did.
Yeah.
So I guess in a way I agree with you. There is no one elemental energy.
Right.
Just there is a feel.
Yeah.
What is more comfortable for me.
Right. And I would like to point out for everyone who can't see us, Elvira is currently wearing a necklace that has the symbols of all the four elements.
Yeah.
In them. So I think it's pretty amazing right now.
Really, it was, well, and it was funny because I went out of my way when I was back in Arkansas visiting my daughter to this one place that is good for all of us eclectic woo-woo people.
Sure.
And I'm wandering around, and what I found were these things that were, I'm looking at them going, one each pendant, and I go, I have to have. So I wound up bringing them home, and then I had another thing, and so I kind of, you know, did this little knotted necklace thing.
Yeah.
And I wear that a lot because it's a way of balancing for me the energy.
Yeah.
But because it has a fire central pendant,
mm-hmm.
it's like that's where I pull my energy through, but it doesn't mean that the others are out of balance.
Right, right.
So, but yeah, it's kind of funny you look at. I knew you were going to say that somewhere along the line because I'm going, it's like a billboard.
The other thing that kept coming up was this idea of controlling the elements. And I know, I feel like this maybe should have been something we talked about, especially with fire.
Because
people often do like this play around fire. And I actually think it's really good, especially with a candle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a practicing of your psychic ability, of your control, of
mm-hmm.
your projection, right?
Mm-hmm.
To have a candle lit.
Obviously.
Right?
Good point.
And make sure, you know, you don't have windows and doors open so there's no drafts coming through
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And focus your intention and your energy and your ability, your psychic, whatever,
mm-hmm.
on that candle flame and see if you can make it grow and see if you can squish it down.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen anyone put a candle out, but who the hell knows? Go for it.
There you go.
I've seen folks make them dance. I've played with this myself. It's super fun. And it's
mm-hmm.
a good test of psychic ability and intention. It
mm-hmm.
helps the focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for someone, and I found this a couple of times online, and it just kind of irked me, for someone to think that that means they control fire, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when there is this idea of, I am controlling the elemental. No, dude.
Mm-hmm.
The elementals of the five elements are so beyond human comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
They control you without you even knowing it.
Exactly.
You know, we're talking about like almost like the she, S-I-D-H-E,
mm-hmm.
the Celtic idea of the fae,
mm-hmm.
right? These are massive, imposing, huge forces.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a candle flame. Being able to make a candle dance does not mean you've controlled the elemental of fire.
Mm-hmm.
It means you've played with your psychic ability.
Right.
For you.
You've been able to focus.
Yeah.
And bring that attention to what you are doing to the degree that you can work with it,
right.
not control it.
Right. And that means being in balance.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to harness your attention, your focus, and your will
mm-hmm.
is to be centered and balanced.
Right.
Which means being in right relationship with all of the elements.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
True.
So I felt like, because we're on our fourth of the elemental series, being with Earth now, and it just felt like it was important to say, you know, there's a part of me that would really love for the fantasy land of witchcraft to be true, for
mm-hmm.
me to be able to touch a dying plant and revive it to life, or
mm-hmm.
make, you know, shit blow across the landscape, or whatever, whatever.
Shooting fire out of your hand.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
Yes.
And there are very limited, very small things that compared to that we can do with practice.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not Harry Potter.
No, and again, I would say as a point of question, is that not more the concept of a patriarchal masculine point of reference is to control something
right.
as opposed to working with it,
right.
whatever the it is.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I've learned. You know, I go in with the concept of, oh, yeah, I can do this, I can control that. And then learning that it's you're a conduit, you are part of it, you use the connection and work with it and co-create.
Right.
And that is the divinity out of the process.
Right.
No matter what it is.
Yeah. I went through this rabbit hole today. I don't even know if I should bother repeating this.
Oh, dear.
I went down this rabbit hole today online, this whole, the curse that folks were doing on Donald Trump. There was there was this mass magical working. I'm not going to state any opinions or feelings on it because I feel like that kind of magic, our rules of magic are to be silent.
Yeah.
So I will be silent on my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
However, apparently there's this website called 4chan, number 4, C-H-A-N. It's a bunch of chats and things like that. Excuse me. Approach at your own risk, because once I found this website, then I got sucked in, and there's all kinds of terrible stuff on there. And it is a very patriarchal. It is very aggro male.
Mm-hmm.
It is, a lot of folks talking about their guns and exploiting women and, you know, whatever. But there's this whole thing about Pepe the Frog.
Ooh.
And so there was a meme with this frog, and by some random synchronicity, there is this group of people who have started the cult of Keck. Keck is an ancient Egyptian god who was a frog, who was like the primordial ooze, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like Tiamat from...
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So there is this cult started from this 4chan chat thread,
right?
The cult of Keck, who were doing anti-spell work, helping Trump get elected, and stopping all of these witches from their... I don't know what all of this is, but if you are curious about witch wars and the cult of Keck, oh my, I was like, meme magic, like this whole thing of the internet is fascinating.
Yeah. Well, and again, we're talking about, and this is another one of those, the internet, it is neither good or bad, it is how it is used.
Yeah.
It is like magic.
Oh, it's a thing, man.
And either way you use it, you
Absolutely.
Can use it for good or evil, you can use it for positive or negative in a harmful way or a good way.
I don't have any doubts that the internet could resurrect a god.
Well,
I don't have any doubts.
Yeah.
Not at all. And, you know, there were many years ago, there was this whole Slenderman thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, this thing started, and then it was an urban myth, but because of the internet, it became this thing.
Right.
And Slenderman was this, you know, shadowy killer figure.
Right.
And then someone literally killed someone.
Right.
The internet made that.
Right.
Like, that's magic.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
It's not good magic.
No.
I don't recommend it.
No.
But anyway.
But it is a way.
Manifestation.
Truly. So, you know, the old thing is, you know, which we seem to keep coming to, is use at your own risk.
Yes.
Realize that there is a balance. I am so, I don't even consider this Asian principles. It's just there is what goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it may not be next month.
Yeah.
But it does do that. My mother used to say something about the gods, the mills of the gods grind oh so fine.
Yes.
And, you know, I was like, what do you mean, what do you mean? And now I understand, because it doesn't matter what god or goddess or gods or goddesses.
Mm-hmm.
It is the energy.
Yeah.
Move.
Yeah. And in all of this, really, like this life online is really about what you and I were talking about before the show started in relation to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of what's going on right now, a lot of the trouble in our world is because we are disconnected from the element from which we came.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
And assuming you don't deal with the poison of embalming and being buried in a cement box or whatever, when you die, you are returned to the earth. We are part of the cycle of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And being divorced from that, losing the sensuousness of the landscape, not noticing what the plants do in your neighborhood throughout the cycle of the year, is a divorce from our mother, from the very thing we're created from.
Right.
And that's part of the problem with the internet. I mean, I'm addicted to screens just as much as anybody else is,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm cognizant that I'm addicted.
Right.
You know?
And it's again, I think we will go into the earth element in a very different way than we've done, I think, with other
yeah.
elements, because
yeah.
it has more meaning to us because we are walking on a planet that is called Earth.
Yeah.
We are part of that existence. And ancient ones, basically, it was real,
yeah.
and they honored it. It's interesting because I work with a lot of people about houses and selling property. I seem to have a good connection with people who are real estate people. And what happens is that you talk with and honor the spirit of place,
yes,
which is the dwelling, and the spirit of land, which is the property. They are two separate entities.
Right.
Even if you're in an apartment building.
Right.
Because that whole process is part of what the ancients used to see all the time.
Yes.
And what we're talking about, and we might as well just jump into that whole thing
yeah.
since we started it,
yeah.
is that from the traditions that honored the earth as an energy, as a being, they actually became tribal, clan, country, and then when we get into a bigger picture, which is now,
yeah.
we go global. We go United Nations, we go into a bigger place. And when we realize that it is a process not to control,
mm-hmm.
the nature of what witchcraft is to co-create, to work with the elements, to be a part of the process.
Yeah.
And to be within, not to try and control, use, and throw away.
Right. Right.
Which is what you were talking about, and I'll hand it back to you.
Yeah, recognizing our connection.
Yes.
And it's so funny, because Elvira and I had this almost this exact conversation before we started the show, but I was reading a book today by David Abrams. It's called Becoming Animal.
Mm-hmm.
And I love his writing, but it's very poetic, and sometimes I get lost,
mm-hmm.
you know. But he was talking about this concept of our planet, and how, because of how when we think of the Earth now, we think of our planet, and we even picture that blue, beautiful thing with the clouds
mm-hmm.
and the continents far away, like it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not out there.
Mm-hmm.
We're on it right now.
Mm-hmm.
We are of it. And there is this, again, to use the word divorce, we are divorced from our landscape, from our spirit of place.
Mm-hmm.
From our local landscape, where we are in this moment, because when we think of Earth, we think of that. We think of that
right.
picture of the globe.
Right.
And so there's a connection. And of all the elements, I feel like Earth is the one that we need to take care of
mm-hmm.
the most. And water, too, but even water is part of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because we live here. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's that old Native American concept of doing what you know will impact seven generations forward.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And especially over the last few days, like our government, like what is going on? We're so lost from the earth. We are so
mm-hmm.
lost from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an ending resource. It's a never-ending resource. It will die.
Right. And the problem is that with that consciousness of conquering.
Yes.
All right, is conquering the elements, conquering the land, conquering whatever, conquering other people, is that they're going to go out and conquer some other planet
right.
that they could find that could possibly, you know, sustain humans to go do the same thing, because they aren't going to learn.
Right.
Trust me, it's a very big place out there, and I don't mm-hmm. think whether we want to believe in it or not, there is a bigger plan afoot, and we seem to be those little cockroaches
right.
that keep running around. And I don't mean we, Phoenix and I, and the people that are listening to this, but the people that we are watching
yeah.
and being frustrated with
right.
are just consuming,
in
consuming,
control right
and
now.
Consuming.
Yeah.
And but I do believe the other part of it we were talking about just in the show is that Earth is very slow.
Yeah.
But then there's times when she's very fast.
Yeah.
And one of the things I found when I was reading is they talk about, you know, yes, it's, you know, the good things of Earth about, you know, learning and doing, but then there's the quick, fast earthquakes and, you know, landslides and avalanches. And, you know, if you don't know what that feels like, then you haven't had a breakup in an emotional situation, or you haven't had a loss of a job or something, because that, my dear, is exactly what creates the shift when you're sitting, you know, being bogged down and not moving. And I don't think that she's going to put up with a whole lot of mess.
Right.
I don't, you know, I just feel strong enough to my connection with spirit and the planet and all that there is a, I will not use concepts like revolution in that sense, but it's a time for balancing.
Yeah. Well, and it's a cultural shift, and we, you know, our ancestors depended on the landscape just like we do now. Our ancestors were connected to the land. They were connected to the cycles. They were connected to the seasons, and they revered those things. They respected those things. They made offerings to those things in certain cases, and then there was a cultural shift.
Right.
And the people started to believe that we were no longer connected to the land. The land was here for us to use.
Right.
It was no longer our partner or our mother or something we needed to take care of. It was something we could take advantage of and utilize, because we're going to go to heaven and none of this matters. And that is what's changed. That's what's that's the cultural shift. And even folks who are not religious, who may not be Christian, they're still looking at the earth as a consumable.
Right.
And it's not.
Yeah. And it's finite.
Yes.
And yet it has a renewable way if you work in partnership with it.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that is very real, and to me is very real, is the concept of when you die, what do you do with your body?
Yeah.
You know, what do you do with your animal bodies? What do you do with that physical being that was animate but is now not?
Right.
And I know that it would be really nice to think of the person that you lost, or that you would be the person that somebody else loses, that you can look just like you did in life, so they can have that sense of comfort connection.
Right.
But the reality is by letting go of the physical being and having it decompose, just like your favorite tree that you so love that finally gets some rot in it that then dies, it will decompose. It will make life be able to grow again.
Right.
And thus the cycle renews itself.
Right. Right.
And
death is inextricably linked to Earth.
It is.
Absolutely.
So Earth itself is both life and death.
The womb and the tomb.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Love that.
There's a druid from the Anglesey Druid Order whose name is Christopher Hughes. And I saw a talk of his at Pantheacon, and he talked, it was called Death, Drag, and something else. I don't remember. But he's a druid. He's a drag queen, and his day job is a coroner. And he's written a book about death, and he gave this talk about death, and I highly recommend reading it, because it's basically connected. The Victorian, Queen Victoria, is what changed the way the Western world deals with death.
Oh, really?
Her husband died, and she went into mourning and was in mourning for 40 years. The rest of her life, she mourned the death of her husband, and she put in order all of these rules around death. And think about the Victorians, right? The black and the crying crystals and the hair that you made from the dead, like all these crazy weird things came from the Victorian age because of Queen Victoria and her obsession over her husband's death. But the fact of covering mirrors and the body being taken away, she instituted the state processing of dead bodies. It used to be something your family dealt with, and the body would lay in the living room, and people would come and give their last respects, and then the body would be put into a wooden box and buried in the earth. No chemicals, no taking it away and having it be in some refrigerator. It was the family dealt with death.
Right.
And Victoria changed all of that, and it's impacted the entire Western world.
Yeah.
Because now death is this clinical thing.
Yeah.
It's swept out from our eyes, so we don't have to look at its unpleasantness.
Mm-hmm.
We are completely divorced from our bodies when they've passed on.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea, most of us, what a dead person looks like,
mm-hmm.
or the process of what someone goes through when they're dying, because they encourage us not to be involved.
Right.
And what we do to dead bodies is poisoning the planet.
Exactly.
Whether that's cremation or embalming or these ridiculous freaking boxes we put people in, what does a dead person need that for? That is to make the living feel better.
Of course it is.
Because we are afraid. Because we don't know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
We're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yes, of course I get it and I have sympathy, but I'm also like, we are poison, embalming fluid, what? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please
yeah.
stop.
No, and that's, you know, let's make them look just like they did in life.
Right.
But
they're dead. They're not alive anymore.
You know, when my uncle died, and they did that. They were Catholic. The family, my father's side of the family was Catholic. He wasn't a practicing Catholic. But it was the one and only time I went to a funeral, a Catholic funeral,
yeah.
and wound up walking through the line to visit the body.
Yeah.
And luckily, I was probably in my late teens, early 20s, so it wasn't hysterical. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't, shall we say, pleasant. But I looked at this person, and he was no more my uncle than, you know, but it was the body.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating and yet scary.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was, you know, it was like, well, there's no reason. To me, that side of the family, that's how they did it.
Yeah.
My father, when he died, they cremated him.
Yeah.
My mother, when she died, we cremated her. When my husband died, we cremated him.
Yeah.
And the ashes went into plants
yeah.
out in the world,
yeah.
and they regenerated
yeah.
by being fertilizer.
Right.
And I was there when my husband died. I was
mm-hmm.
there literally watching him go through the last motions
mm-hmm.
of his breathing process. And it was devastating, but it was also, there's something now for me to look back and go, I was on the phone calling his sister back east and his son
yeah.
and putting that thing up to his ears so they could say their last goodbyes,
because yeah.
the last thing that leaves is that cognizant hearing process.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that, but the hospice people that were with me, that was a learning experience
yeah.
about what death was, and
yeah.
so it was not, I mean, it's never going to be beautiful in the sense that
right.
you just sit there and you're like, yay, and the little angels come
okay,
out.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
Thanks, everyone. It's been real.
Yeah, but you do realize that people have different ways of leaving the body.
Right.
But they also, it's part and parcel. Just like we're sitting there listening to a baby be born. You know, both
right.
of us are mothers.
Right.
And we had babies, and we were actually talking about the birthing process
right.
when she was talking about her child being born this week. And, you know, it was no picnic.
No.
You know, I mean, there was pain and agony, and I thought I was going to die, and I think I said it, and then when I listened to my own daughter, who was going through the process of giving birth to her daughter, my granddaughter, the same thing comes out, oh, my God, I'm going to die, and the whole thing of what do I do now
right.
after the baby is born.
Right.
So
you go through all of that when someone dies.
You do it the same way.
Yeah.
You do it the same
yeah.
way.
You're sleep deprived.
Oh, heaven.
Cry a lot.
Yep. Yep. You know, it's that process, but
yeah.
that's part of the earth process.
Absolutely. And I would encourage folks, if you know, I get that this is a sensitive subject, and
mm-hmm.
And death is a very difficult thing for people to talk about and
mm-hmm.
think about, and because it is scary, because we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I get that. But I would highly encourage folks to look up Christopher Hughes. It's Christopher with a K.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of his book. He has a few books because he's a druid, so he writes about druid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But his book on death is excellent. And to look at your own choices. Do you know what your plan is
mm-hmm.
after death? Is it written legally somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Have you explored, like, green home funerals are on the rise.
Yeah.
It's a movement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. And giving people the opportunity, which, you know, depending on your family, could be really hard for people.
I know. Cause,
but, you know, it's
yeah.
it's your body. You
yep.
get to decide what happens to it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's just, it's that that's another part of the empowerment. As much as we come into this world as a conscious being that comes into a physical body, and we can talk all about that another time, and we inhabit it, when we leave, we are more conscious in the physical realm and when we are preparing.
Right.
It's not like it's going to happen, but I know we keep thinking, well, if I do this, then it means I'm going to die.
Right.
And yet, you're going to die anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and the idea that they're trying to figure out how to get immortality is the patriarchal consciousness of fear, of the loss.
Fear. Yeah, it's so fear.
And, you know, here we are babbling about, you know, life and death as if they're one and the same, because they are.
Right. Yeah.
Just that we, and both of us, I'm sure, have looked at our own mortality at different levels and times.
Yep.
And so I think that with, you know, the concept of Earth, it's it has such a richness. It was funny when I started to make the little altar. I'm out, you know, picking flowers, and I'm choosing the stones off of, you know, places I have.
Yeah.
And then I went out to the earth, and I'm going, well, we have salt, and we have stones and flowers and tree limb or something I can find that won't be too big to drag in. And I'm thinking, I need earth. So I'm out there with my hands digging in the earth, you know, and it's, you know, still pretty wet from all our rain.
Yeah.
I'm bringing it in and putting on this little silver tray, and I'm thinking, I'm looking at it. It is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dirt and earth.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not necessarily super gardenery. I mean, I do like gardening occasionally, but it's not a passion.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so empowering. And when I read the information, you know, and we have correspondences that say this is for this and you can use it magically. And if we have time, we'll throw a few things out on that. But it became more interesting as I read more about it.
Right.
And how it really is this sort of like encompassing.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm like, and as I say, it was a very interesting excursion for me because, you know, fire is great, water is cool, you know, air, you blow, you breathe, wow. Earth is just there. Well,
that's funny. I've been Milk and Honey. We've been expanding our stones section.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we started out with a few little bowls of citrine and tourmaline, and now we've got like two tables full of different stones. And that the goal is to continue to expand that. But in expanding that, I'm learning about stones.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Learning about not just the metaphysical properties, but like we got all these huge chunks of amethyst.
Mm-hmm.
They're just gorgeous. But some of them have these dark shadows in them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I learned the dark shadows are pyrite flecks.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have these blue bands right around the bottom where it's kind of the boring rock part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that blue band is blue lace agate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not unusual for these three stones to grow like that in and around each other.
Mm-hmm.
The earth is endlessly fascinating.
Yes.
And how the temperature or the moisture or the water or the pressure or whatever
mm-hmm.
creates these amazing colors
mm-hmm.
and shapes and shine. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The earth is incredible.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's interesting because, and we're mentioning now, and that's because it's up in our conversation, is next week we will be talking about stones.
Yeah.
Which, again, has its, you know, to talk 1 hour on stones is going to be like really super light, you know, in terms
right.
of how much we can really pull in, but
more the magical use.
Yeah, more the magical. But I know that I would go on walks with my family, and I would be, you know, and picking up rocks.
Yeah.
You know, and
piles
of rocks, and of course you'd hand them to your parent, and at a certain point they'd look at you and they'd hand them back and go, you get to carry what you pick up, and as long as it's that case, so you bring a backpack and you start carrying all of that. And to me, I know about all these other stones and things I've learned and,
yeah.
you know, the different things, but I still look at the rocks that I have, which, truth be told, I have a spiral out in the back, a spiral labyrinth out in the back, and there are all these rocks, these fairly big sizes,
yeah.
that I have wound up finding on my various paths of wherever I've been. And when I move, I move them.
Oh, yeah. I've
and, of course, you know, the people that have moved me are going, why are you moving rocks?
Yeah, I've done that.
You know? And
witches, man, we're weird.
I know, we really are. It's, why are you? I mean, I also have a cabinet in the back that has dirt. Everywhere I've gone, Glastonbury,
yeah.
Kalanish,
yeah.
Hawaii, the Southwest,
yeah.
You know, ask Spirit of Land if I can take some with
right.
me. And there I am. I remember when I was going to Europe, and I was going to Italy.
Mm.
With my husband and my stepdaughter and her boyfriend, and I kid you not, I had tons of little bags with herbs and things like pine cones and all these things, and I had little pieces of paper written on where they are,
right.
And I'm going through customs. And luckily at that time, of course, it wasn't quite ready to do that because we hadn't hit the hysteria of 9/11.
Right.
But I kept thinking, what would somebody, you know, look at
yeah.
this woman is, why is she what? She has dirt.
Pine cones.
And
yeah.
pine cones, but,
yeah.
you know.
I have a refrigerator in our garage, and there are all these bottles of water
yes.
from different places.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the same thing.
Yeah.
Because they have memory.
Yeah.
And the energy and the vibration.
Yeah.
And that's part of the nature
mm-hmm.
of these elements. And, yes, we talk about them here. And we talk about the larger ones, just like gnomes. Gnomes are the ones that are the spiritual elemental.
Right.
The caregivers, the caretakers, I'm sorry, of
right.
the earth.
Right.
And the caverns and all of that. And you
yeah.
think about them, and you have all kinds of different things that they've done. But, you know, they're really, you don't want to mess with them.
Right.
You
right.
really don't.
And in the Norse traditions, the dwarves, which, you know, gnomes,
uh-huh.
dwarves, they're...
Uh-huh.
They're familial.
Mm-hmm.
The dwarves hold up the earth,
mm-hmm.
one for each element.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's very solid.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, but at this point, you know, there are so many things about earth that fascinate.
Yeah.
You know,
and we are it, and it is us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do some correspondences?
Oh, why not?
It's
fun time.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get a little lighter. Yes.
Enough death. Let's talk about woo stuff.
Woo stuff. We'll go woo stuff.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So here's my first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Plato.
Okay.
The philosopher guy.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Mm-hmm. Not Pluto. Plato. He postulated that the element of earth was associated with darkness and quiet. So in Greek medicine, which was a lot of what Plato
mm-hmm.
talked about, was also put into practice,
mm-hmm.
it was connected with bile.
Ooh.
Mm.
Interesting.
Right? So earth and black bile are cold and dry medicines.
Got it.
You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, if you were, if you had an excess of bile, it was believed that you would have melancholy because
mm-hmm.
it was too dark and too quiet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and think about, again, we... throw back into another one. People that are mourning,
yeah,
they're in that.
Yeah,
yeah.
The dark and the
they're overwhelmed with it. Of
mm-hmm.
course, we know the direction is north.
North, yeah.
Okay, and that it basically the time of day is midnight.
Right.
Again, dark.
Yep.
And season is winter,
mm-hmm.
so we can do that. Zodiac signs, famous Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn.
Right.
Yep.
All earth signs. Yep.
And, of course, the pentacle.
Right.
Being the tool.
Magical tool.
The magical tool.
Which we've did a whole show about.
Yes. And actually, the shield and the black mirror. So they
mm-hmm.
kind of throw those in sometimes on some of the other parts.
Yeah.
The sense is touch.
Right.
Very tactile.
Right.
Earthy. Anything else you want to throw in? I mean, I can just keep going, but I think,
Well, sure. Drums are connected with earth,
mm-hmm.
so it's very earthy. The heartbeat
mm-hmm.
is sort of energetic,
mm-hmm.
although I also think of drums being connected to air because
right.
of music.
Right.
But that pounding of
mm-hmm.
the drum is
mm-hmm.
very earth. There's this really cool cleanse that I like to do.
Hmm.
I call it the double drum.
Mm-hmm.
I learned this from my teacher, Copper. Persephone, but you need three people, one person getting cleansed, and then two people playing a frame drum.
Mm-hmm.
And the two people stand behind you and in front of you,
mm-hmm.
and then they drum, boom, 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 and then they hold the drum at your head, boom, 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 and draw it down your chakras all, together, right,
mm-hmm.
all the way to your feet, boom, 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 and then all the way back up to the top of your head,
mm-hmm.
and then they pull the drums away.
Wow.
It, like, shakes your aura and vibrates, and it's a good cleanse. It's fun.
Oh, yeah.
So try it.
Yeah.
Get it's fresh.
Very nice. And I know that when you talk about shamanic drumming and shamanic soul retrieval, one of the things in, which I have done and also been a part of having done to me, it's the vibration.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
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 So
the rattle is also mm-hmm. often connected to earth because of that same
percussive
shaking energy.
Right.
Yeah.
So it rules body, growth, nature, sustenance.
Fertility, prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that are foundational. So
right.
relationships and jobs and
mm-hmm.
things like that from
mm-hmm.
a spell
mm-hmm.
or magical perspective.
Mm-hmm. And plants can be, I mean, there's several of them, but barley, grain, ivy, comfrey, oats, corn, rice, you know, the grains, a lot of
right.
grains are specific to the earth.
Patchouli also. Patchouli is a great earth herb. And there's
mm-hmm.
there's a few books out there about herbs if you are interested in learning more. Scott Cunningham's book, Magical Herbs, and then Catherine Ironwood's book on hoodoo herbs are two amazing books.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott Cunningham actually has an appendix in the back where he lists the herbs by element.
Right.
So if you are looking to do work with a specific element, he has a quick reference guide.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of use both of them, actually, you know,
yeah.
a lot of time because they're, you know, they're different traditions, but they also have different ways of you know, looking at the herbs, and they work well together as a
yeah. You know. Well, and the hoodoo book is definitely more of American herbs.
Yeah.
There are herbs in Scott Cunningham's book that are more European.
Right.
So you get that lovely balance
yeah.
of North yeah. American and European.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Animals. We have bull, bison, snake runs on the earth. And cats.
Also dogs.
Dogs.
Did you say cats?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
No, dogs.
Yeah, dogs. Animals that burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Gophers and moles and things like that.
Was it what we call rats. No, they don't burrow.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Obviously, we can go into, now, this is where I have had a difference of opinion.
Uh-huh.
To me, the archangel for the earth is Ariel,
uh-huh.
or said Uriel.
Okay.
Now, another version of where I was looking said Gabriel.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of go, my preference, Ariel.
Is Gabriel the one that plays the horn?
Yes.
No.
Oh,
see, I wouldn't think that was.
No, and he's actually, he's water, because
right.
Raphael is air, and, you know, he's the version of Hermes.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah, I defer to you when it comes to archangels, because you know more about the angelic stuff than I do.
At least that side of it. Some of the others, you know. What else do we have going on? Gods and goddesses.
Yeah.
Hey, our side of the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so goddesses.
Yeah, we have the goddesses of abundance and plants, and the word that I actually want to use is not coming to me, so we'll keep going.
We'll keep going.
Demeter and Ceres, right?
Right.
Persephone,
mm-hmm.
The Horae,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So fauns and dryads, like these spirits of the
plants.
Of the plants.
Yeah, the trees and plants
yeah.
and things
yeah.
like
yeah.
that.
And Kern and Kernunos, these wild forest
right.
deities.
Right, right.
Yep.
Green man, that's a big
right.
one.
Right,
that's, you know, inversion of just a general point of how to describe.
Yeah.
Nefertiti is actually in the Egyptian tradition.
Yeah.
And Gaia.
Right, right.
Right. And then
or Gaia, right?
Yeah.
The actual literal earth.
Earth. And then we have Dionysus.
I love Dionysus.
Yes.
I must mention this.
Yes, you have.
Before.
But you can say it again.
I'll say it many times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Pan.
Uh-huh.
Again, that little wood nymph dancing through the trees creature.
True, true. and time of the year us holidays would be, or the Sabbath would be Yule and Samhain.
Right.
Kind of both in that same time frame.
Right.
Interesting. What else do they have?
Well, colors.
Colors,
so
okay.
That's earth colors, browns and greens, darker hues, and depending on the working that you're doing, if you're setting up an altar for earth or if you're setting up an altar for holiday, you may want colors that are plant-like, flower-like, you know, not necessarily colors like jewel tones or pastels, but more what you would see out in nature, things growing,
So, let's see, anything else that we can throw out at you that would be, actually, you talked about the humors, which is pretty, pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, black, green, the vegetation colors.
Right.
And then, of course, herbal magic really falls under the auspices of earth.
Yeah. Yeah, and I kind of feel like herbal magic is this weird combination of earth and water, because working with herbs is a very healing thing. You may be using herbs only for magic. You might not be using them for health and healing at all, but there is still this long trend, this long lineage of herbal workers, of herbalists, of midwives, of healers using herbs.
Right.
So even if you're only adding a pinch into a moja bag, you're now in the realm of the healers.
Exactly.
Yeah, so an herbal magic, herbs, man, that's so, it's like gems. It's endlessly fascinating. There's so much to learn. There's a never-ending amount of things to learn.
Definitely. We definitely can get lost in. Oh, the other thing, geomancy in the traditional sense of earth placement.
Right.
You know, both feng shui and geomancy in terms of how things are placed, the earth alignments and earth elemental energies.
There's this whole thing about the conspiracy of Washington, D.C.
Oh, yes.
And the Masons. And
yes.
Were set up specifically. It's go check it out. It's pretty interesting. And there's a gentleman named Nicholas Mann who wrote a book about the geomancy of Glastonbury.
Ah, yes.
The layout of the sacred sites.
Yes.
It's also really cool if you're into that.
Which, again, you know, we talk about ley lines, things that are energy, the energy pathways that would be like the nervous system of the earth. And when you tap into it or when you break it, which is what a lot of what they're doing now, is breaking the energy pathways. Just like when you have a problem with your nervous system and you don't do the right thing, but then there's acupuncture, which is putting things in alignment to do that.
Right.
So the sites that they put on top are very much like that of the ancient times. And, you know, I guess if you want to think of how you can energize a place, and it's ley lines aren't just the big ones, like the St. Michael ley line and the Rose ley line and all those that are, you know, talked about, but just energy ley lines, which goes into dowsing and things like that.
Yeah, which can be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And if you are building an altar, whether to do just a general ritual and you want earth represented, which you do, we recommend you putting a representation of all the elements on your altars.
Because
you can use a bowl of salt or a bowl of dirt or a potted plant or a stone. Your tradition may have specific rules, but if you're an eclectic worker, have a representative of earth that feels like earth.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
we only have a couple minutes left.
Well, actually, we do.
Yeah.
We, at this point, would probably be good to say that, again, the next week will be on stones.
Right.
And then we do have something for our March 31st show.
I'm so glad you remembered.
Yes, well, I'm trying to. At least, you know, whether I follow my notes or not.
Regular listeners may have noticed we were commercial-free today.
Yes.
Our beloved Cauldron Alan is not with us today. He's otherwise occupied, so we are flying by the seat of our pants without our cauldron.
Right, but he will be adding our regular things that he said.
Oh, good. Oh, so if you're listening to this later, you'll have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yes, that's true. But that's okay. As it goes, we do
Friday
have
the 31st.
Friday the 31st.
Yeah.
We are going to be doing a talk on divination.
Right.
And go for it.
Part of our talk on divination will be doing some free readings for you all, or answering some random questions. So if there is a question you've always wanted to ask a witch, now is your time. So if you go to witchpriestesscauldron.com, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com, there is a page that says Ask a Witch. And on that page, you can fill out your information, put in your name and your email so we can let you know we're going to answer your question on air.
Right.
And if you want us to do divination for you, write out what your question is, what you'd like to know. Include birth dates, please, of anyone involved. And Elvira and I will both do a three-card draw on your question, and we'll read it. We'll do your reading right here on our radio show. And we're going to add this segment in regularly.
Yes.
Every other month or so, we're going to do our Ask a Witch.
Ask a Witch.
Yeah, so ask us.
As long as you find the right time and right place, we will be asked and we will find an answer.
Yeah, oh, and we'll make something up, whatever.
Whatever, you know. Fly by the seat of our pants, remember that. Okay.
I'll make it up. Anyway.
All right, well, it has been a real joy, and this has been actually the most political that we've been.
It was dark.
It was dark. It was dark in that day, and we saw the endless night. So I wish you all a very happy Friday.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Take care. Bye.
If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine. If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.